Blog Talk Radio.
I've paid my share. Life's ups and downs. God's been good to me. And the downs have been few. You'll be there.
This is the divine word of God, a divine word, divine talk is of God. And tonight we're talking about the divine word. You find it in the 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and some of the lost books of the Bible. The divine word of God, and you can't go over the divine word. He said, man and woman, be fruitful and multiply. That's in the word. And when you read it, it says, fret not thyself for evildoers, they'll soon be cut down. The night, I'm talking about the divine word of God. And I want to say this, because every time we come together, I want to let you know something new. I want to give you a new word, new understanding, what's going on around us, what's going on with us. And when I give you the new word break a yoke for you. Tonight, we're talking about Exodus 14:14. God says, step back, Moses, let me handle it. And sometimes you have to step back in your personal life and let God handle it. I was talking to a young lady, and she said, Bishop, what happened to this young lady? Her two daughters, which she put through college, had got somewhere and conked up some kind of way and put her in a home and got some phony paper and said she got dementia. Now, she raised them up. These are her biological children. These are stepchildren. And what they did, they got her in the crazy house and sold the house. And right now, as I speak tonight, she's still in that house. She's still in the doctor's gallon and dementia. Got her. And if she got dementia, you out in radio land got it. It's going to show you sometime, and the girl called me and told me, said, Bishop, these are my biological daughters, and I put them through college, and they got their degree, and one asked me to come and stay with her. I didn't know what she had planned. She had it planned to the point where once it gets to rolling, that they went to the doctor, and, you know, the girl was a shad police, and they had gave her a phone, but they watched. And the lady is from Chicago. She got ready to come back to Chicago. They called the police to pick up, so she got to mention. She don't know where she is, know where she's going. And it hurt her. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. You can't put no premise in your husband or your wife. You got to know God for yourself. You got to know when Revelation, Genesis, and all that talk about the evil, and right now we got the midst of the devil for us. You know, anytime somebody concoct to take over the government and try to steal the government, I'm under you, and people can't see it. I've seen it. Mr. White seen it. We started praying. And said, we prayed one night, me and Mr. White. I think I was in New Orleans or somewhere. We prayed that all this stuff that's coming out now be revealed. And we agreed on that. And they said, well, two or three agree, he'll be a god in the midst. And we decreed that the snakes in Washington come out. They started falling out, started fighting each other. But we had already prophesied that and prayed and put it on the radio. So tonight, divine word is God's word. If God said it, I believe it. And God is not the one to lie. He's not one to lie. If God said it, I believe it. Sometimes you ain't got time to wait on him. That's what you got to do. Now, I want to say this to him. All these politics that's going on, all that politics is nothing but lies and top of lies. You know, when black folks, I want to say this tonight, because I got to see what a problem at with us. Problem with us that we started, everything was set up against the black man. I don't care what you do, it's set up against you. When people from other countries come in, they get money from the government, and they change their status from black to white. If you come, they change you, you're white. So Arab and all them other people on paper, they white. So they got a better privilege. The only somebody that ain't changed is the black man, okay? So God got to be with us. We got to walk with God because we know the rest of the thing was going on. So God is with us. So we have to go with God because we know what's going on, okay? And what's going on, that what's happening with us is that God has protected us from all that went on. In the spirit of Dr. King and in all the leaders, Marcus Garvey, all the leaders, God said that he broke the yoke. So the yoke being broke, a door being open, things working in a good way. So God is able to open doors. God able to do something special. But you know, before we get into the serious Bible class tonight, I want to talk about some of the stuff that happened with us as black folks that y'all don't want to see. But I want to talk about it because once you know the truth will do what? The truth will set you free, okay? You know, and that's the important thing, black America.
Racism is a power relationship between groups of people. That's all it is. It means that one group of people have control of so much wealth and power and resource that it can deprive, hurt, and injure and exploit another group to benefit itself. Never in the history of this earth have black folk ever controlled that much resources and where they can have gone out of their way to exploit, injure, and do something to white. So therefore, racism only started in the 16th century when it began to commercialize slavery against blacks. That's when racism started. There was no such thing as racism before that. The other thing, and before I get into my presentation, you got to understand racism also comes from the word race. Race means group. So whenever you hear people talking about you cannot prove racism because somebody fired you from a job, they are absolutely right. And the power structure and all the white think tanks in Washington know that. That's why you can no longer prove racism, because racism does not apply to an individual. It applies to a group. Racism is a power relationship between groups of people. That's all it is. It means that one group of people have control of so much wealth and power and resource that it can deprive, hurt, and injure and exploit another group to benefit itself. Never in the history of this earth have black folk ever controlled that much resources and where they can have gone out of their way to exploit, injure, and do something to white. So therefore, racism only started in the 16th century when it began to commercialize slavery against blacks. That's when racism started. There was no such thing as racism before that. The other thing, and before I get into my presentation, you got to understand racism also comes from the word race. Race means group. So whenever you hear people talking about now, you cannot prove racism because somebody fired you from a job, they are absolutely right. And the power structure and all the white think tanks in Washington know that. That's why you can no longer prove racism, because racism does not apply to an individual. It applies to a group. Racism is a power relationship between groups of people. That's all it is. It means that one group of people have control of so much wealth and power and resource that it can deprive, hurt, and injure and exploit another group to benefit itself. Never in the history of this earth have black folk ever controlled that much resources and where they can have gone out of their way to exploit, injure, and do something to white. So therefore, racism only started in the 16th century when it began to commercialize slavery against blacks. That's when racism started. There was no such thing as racism before that. The other thing, and before I get into my presentation, you got to understand racism also comes from the word race. Race means group. So whenever you hear people talking about now, you cannot prove racism because somebody fired you from a job, they are absolutely right. And the power structure and all the white think tanks in Washington know that. That's why you can no longer prove racism, because racism does not apply to an individual. It applies to a group. Racism is a power relationship between groups of people. That's all it is. It means that one group of people have control of so much wealth and power and resource that it can deprive, hurt, and injure and exploit another group to benefit itself. Never in the history of this earth have black folk ever controlled that much resources and where they can have gone out of their way to exploit, injure, and do something to white. So therefore, racism only started in the 16th century when you begin to commercialize slavery against blacks. That's when racism started. There was no such thing as racism before that. The other thing, and before I get into my presentation, you got to understand racism also comes from the word race. Race means group. So whenever you hear people talking about now, you cannot prove racism because somebody fired you from a job, they are absolutely right. And the power structure, and all the white think tanks in Washington know that. That's why you can no longer prove racism, because racism does not apply to an individual. It applies to a group. Racism is a power relationship between groups of people. That's all it is. It means that one group of people have control of so much wealth and power and resource that it can deprive, hurt, and injure, and exploit another group to benefit itself. Never in the history of this earth have black folk ever controlled that much resources and where they can have gone out of their way to exploit, injure, and do something to whites. So therefore, racism only started in the 16th century when you began to commercialize slavery against blacks. That's when racism started. There was no such thing as racism before that. The other thing, and before I get into my presentation, you got to understand racism also comes from the word race. Race means group. So whenever you hear people talking about now, you cannot prove racism because somebody fired from a job, they are absolutely right. And the power structure and all the white think tanks in Washington know. Because racism does not apply to an individual. It applies to a group. Racism is a power relationship between groups. Wealth, power, and resource that it can deprive, hurt, and injure, and exploit another group to benefit itself. Never in the history of this earth have black folks ever...
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the ocean and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me, Jesus. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be you from me? Mercy, can't you stand?
In November, I'm praying for you, Mother Beth, and her husband, birthday month, Mary Hawkins, Chelsea, birthday this month, Deborah Pickin, birthday this month, Mother Cook, birthday this month, all the month.
The rock in the harbor. All creation joins in unity to sing to him majestic symphony. But his name is God the Lord, his Son of the Redeemed, and lost in his salvation. If their voice is now in
get That's the first question you should be asking. If my vote is not voting, the vote is immaterial. Because you see, in the reality, underneath that whole suggestion, blacks don't have any voting power. You have no voting power. What you have is show and tell power. That means you don't, all you do is go out there and dance and sing and have to tell people, y'all vote for this guy because he loves social integration. He understands civil rights and he looks better and plays a horn, an instrument, or drums in a band. So that's what you should vote for. You tell him those days are over. Over. Any black person goes out, I tell them you don't vote. You only represent about 9% of the votes. If you vote no strictly on lines that they're looking for, if they may want 9 votes, they go to the black folks. But if you vote for your power potential, you could almost take over the entire national political system. I've told them that over and over again. If you voted for as a Democrat, your power is somewhere around 38%. If you vote as a whole, a body, 38%. And if you take that 38% and you go there and say, well, I'll go get me I get another 10% from the Hispanics. These other groups just coming to town. Or I can go get somebody, I can get some of these weirdos that were crawling up the side of the walls in Congress back on January 6th. I can get 10% of that group. And now you got 51% of the votes. You can get elected anytime you want them. You got some darn brains in your head. Because you said, and in society, that's why they have these immigration policies, is to keep watering you down. Back during it, post-slavery ended, black people were over 51% in all 5 of those southern states. You were the 51% of the population. Now you're down to 12 and 13% and have never gotten anything because you don't know how to vote and play the game. Why do you let the people invite you to play a game and you don't know the rules? Why are you playing it? Don't ever play anything that you can't win in. And don't gamble if you can't afford to lose. Normally I tell you, don't go vote for because some girlfriend you got. That makes you triply stupid. I damn boy. Man, some of these people so damn dumb they can draw. Oh, no, I ain't going to say it. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, you know, Dr. It almost felt like the video when I saw it. It was in some point I'm gonna send it over to you so you can take a look at it. But it almost looked like it was women and gay people convincing, trying to use whatever leverage they could to get black men to just sign up and vote for the Democratic Party. And I don't have nothing against nobody in terms of who they are and what they choose to be. But what I do kind of find interesting is that when you see most appeals to get black folks to vote, it's based on emotional or it's based on something that involves like a craving. Like we'll give you some weed if you come vote. We'll give you some sex if you come vote. We'll give you free pizza or chocolate chip cookies. We'll give you something that is something almost like you're an animal. You know, like the same way you want to get a dog to do something, what do? You don't try to talk and be rational with the dog. You don't get logical with the dog. You just offer the dog some food, and the dog will do whatever you tell him to do to give.
That's some of the stuff that go on that we're talking about what's happening. And that was Dr. Claude Anderson was talking about what's been happening to the black man so long that we don't listen to the divine word of God. And the divine word of God tell us what we need to do and where we need to go. And once we get at that level, we can learn to do something to open up the door where we might be able to help bring this country together. I'm praying for you and you tonight, everybody, Grandma, let you know that some of the stuff tonight, we're talking about divine word, divine talk. When I talk about divine talk, I'm not talking about man and not talking about the Pope. I'm talking about divine word of God. And some talk, you got to get revelation knowledge. You got to pray God give you revelation knowledge on some of the stuff that's going on. And you get it from God. And God give you revelation.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is just doing a special short version of the Cows. Wanted to speak with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. about homosexual activity. I was able to speak with him privately last week, and he shared some really interesting thoughts, and I wanted him to share that with you all briefly. I didn't want to take up too much of his time. Mr. Fuller, when I spoke with you, you said that white people tend to think of non-white people as boys and girls, and you tied that into how that relates to homosexual behavior. Could you share that with our audience so they can get a really clear picture of what you're saying?
Well, there is a system of white supremacy in place, which just means just mistreatment and domination and use of people in a royalist manner based on color. That's basically what it is. That's what racism is. It's just a variation of the of royalism, but it's based on color rather than on other things like lineage and who your father was and what your name was, I mean, 1,000 years ago, and certain sets of traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what basically racism is, and it's turned out to be the most powerful form of royalism in the known universe now in the form of what we call racism and or white supremacy. Now, in any structure that's dominant, you have to dominate the people in all areas of activity. If you don't dominate them in all areas of activity, then other areas of activity will slip away from the domination factor. And you have 9 areas, according to what I have written, that would just about cover most things. I think that's adequate enough. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, I call sex the 8th area of activity in alphabetical order of the other areas of activity. So that just comes up as number 8. But sex is the most powerful motivating force among people, next to the system of white supremacy itself. Because whatever the dominant system is, that's what people react to on the planet. So the dominant system at this particular time in history, and has been as far back as anybody can remember who's breathing now, the dominant system, that's mistreatment of people based on color, domination of people based on color. So the sexual aspect is the second most powerful motivating force rather than the first under this system, since the racist factor is the dominant motivating force among people, and sexual motivations are the second. Now, the racists, apparently, according to the evidence, have studied how people who are subject to them are motivated sexually. Now, if a male is a boy, which you are a boy, you're a little boy when you're born and whatnot, and then you get to be a bigger boy and whatnot, at a certain point you reach what they call a certain degree of maturity, which is decided according to the social system that you have at hand. You're now entering the threshold of what they call manhood. So you go from boys to men. Females go from girls to women, and that's the normal process in most societies. So what the racists did was look at that and said, well, you when you have a system of racism, you only have one man and one woman category, and that would be the masters themselves. You can't have your victims of the system growing into manhood and womanhood. So if they start trying to be men, if they go from boys to men, now you have a problem. You have a bigger problem than you had before. When they were boys, they were completely dependent on you. They understood that they'll do your bidding, and they're easier to control. Same way with the girls who are trying to be women. But when they start thinking that they are men, you're not going to have but one man in the house of white supremacy, and he's got to be white. And you're not going to have but one woman, and she has to be white. So now it defies logic that you would allow them to go from boys to men. So if you're not going to allow them to go from boys to men, what will you allow them to do? Because they are constantly growing, they are constantly getting smarter, and they have a natural tendency to want to break away from boyhood and to become men. Say, so what you do is divert them away from wanting to become men and have, if it's a male, have him go from boyhood to femalehood. In other words, he changes his gender altogether, at least in his mind. Then he's easier to control. Then you do the same thing with the female. Take the black female, and rather than allow her to go the normal progression of things, steer her in the direction away from becoming a woman and in the direction of becoming a male. In other words, she will switch genders in her mind. Now, her body didn't switch genders, but we can probably do some things that give her the illusion that her body can be made to switch genders too. Now, when you do that, what you have is confusion. You have added confusion. And one of the best ways to control people for a long period of time, particularly if you confuse them sexually, is through confusing them sexually. So that you have a male thinking he's a female or wanting to be a female, even if he's struggling and trying and whatnot and trying to do everything that a female does, but he doesn't have physical equipment. But he's got it in his mind anyway. He's just determined that he's going to act like one and be one and do the things that females do and look at males like a female looks at males normally. And then over in the female column, have the female do the same thing. Only thing about it, she's not going to try to grow into womanhood. She's going to try to do everything that she sees males doing, including in the bedroom. Try to become an artificial male. And she can do this in her mind because the mind is very flexible. A person can actually think that they are a bird if they want to. But before they try to fly or jump off a building, it's best that they get their equipment for doing so. You know, so that's the way that works. And when you can get people on that roll, and when you have people subject to you, you can always propagandize anything. You can make anything look like it's the fashion because you set the rules for the society. So that's what's going on. I tried to be as comprehensive as I possibly could in that description, and I hope that people could understand what was being said.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we have now. We're heading in that direction now, full steam ahead.
And when I spoke with you, I said that, you know, the counter argument that I frequently hear is that, well, there are a lot of white people who are also participating in so-called homosexual activity. And, you know, this is not something where they're just trying to trick black people into doing it. You have people who are born so-called gay or homosexual, and, you know, this is no trick at all. If it was, you wouldn't see all these white people going around and doing it and being mistreated because they are participating in these so-called homosexual acts. What would your view on that be?
Depends on how it plays out in the end. Now, if the system of white supremacy remains intact, then that will prove the supposition, this outline. That will prove that it's valid, that it is designed basically to support what is already in place. Otherwise, you would have the system of white supremacy would go out of business. There would be no reason to keep it in business if the white people were serious about really getting rid of racism and getting rid of what they call all of the sexual and gender categories and all like that, because racism is an artificial category. See, just because people are of different colors doesn't say that they are members of a race. That's an artificial construct. No one is supposed to be a member of a race. That's something completely made up. So if you can do the same thing with gender. You can do the same thing with a lot of things. But you have to wait until it reaches a certain point where you've got enough evidence to prove the proposition that you made in the first place. Now, like I say, this is my concept of the way things are going because there is still a system of racism in place. Now, if racism is still in place, when all of these so-called anti-sexual, that's what I call it, behavior,
yes,
comes to full fruition and everybody's accepting of it, everybody's participating in it or embracing it or parading it around and saying that it's the best thing ever discovered since ever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you still have a system of racism in place, then that will have proved the supposition because ordinarily all of racism would disappear. But see, it's designed to lure. Now, here's where I based that on, the luring part. In the history of the system of white supremacy, there's a thing called whiskey. It was very popular, the use of it. Now, if you are a practiced deceiver, one thing that you know about the science and the art of deception, you cannot deceive people into doing things unless you are doing quite a bit of it yourself. If you're going to be what you call a real arch deceiver, and the white supremacists have proven that they are arch deceivers, they are very skillful at deception. So in order to deceive people, you can't get people to drink whiskey, and you're sitting there never drinking any of it yourself. So there's some historical record of this. So what they'll do, a deceiver will sit there and practice drinking whiskey under controlled conditions. You know, take a little sip, know exactly where the point is where you get good and drunk or where you don't get good and drunk. Then once you learn what they say, and some people brag about it in bars and whatnot, said, hey, I can drink you under the table, meaning they can outdrink you. That you will drink. I mean, that they will drink, and you will drink. But when they drink, they don't get drunk. But you wind up drunk. Many males who have tried to deceive females into sexual activity, you know, back in the days when whiskey was a bigger thing than dope, used to get into the booth in the restaurant and start that process. Say, now, what I'll do, I don't know she's not willing, really, but she'll be willing before the night's over because I'm going to get her to drink some of this stuff that I brought with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be drinking and she'll be drinking. He'll take a sip, she'll take a sip. Next thing you know, she's willing to go along with anything. She doesn't know what she's doing, but he does. Now, many a person, particularly pimps, understand that thing
mm-hmm.
very well. Now, it's the same way with whiskey as it was used, according to the record of white supremacists themselves, in dealing with people who are called Indians. Sit down, Chief. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Day. We're going to give thanks for all of the wonderful things that have been done for both me and you by our Maker, by the Great Spirits. And, in fact, I brought some spirits with me. It's in a bottle. You never had anything like this before, but you will want it after you get it. It's called fire water. It's full of spirits. It'll give you spirit like you have never had before, Chief. And the Chief said, well, what's wrong with just pure water from the river, from the great streams of our lands? Say, oh, yeah, but you never had nothing like this. This is something we made in a factory. It's got water in it. No mistake about that. Well, we got a little alcohol and a few other stuff, a little other stuff that I've added here. It'll pep you up, give you another perspective on looking at the mountains altogether. Might be good stuff. So he gives it to the Chief. And at the same time, now, the Chief is a little suspicious. So he's drinking right along with the Chief. So that means everything must be okay. So he's drinking. I'm drinking. Next thing you know, the Chief is under the table. Chief's not used to it.
And you
the white supremacists while he's drunk or when he begins to come out of the stupor, says, okay, chief, I got some paper here I want you to sign. I'm going to give you $22 for Manhattan. Now, when the chief really gets sober, see, now he's angry. He wants to go on the warpath. But he's already signed everything away. And what was the instrument for doing it? Deception through an act of using whiskey. Now, the whiskey, you know, that's working all over the world and they're starting to do it in South Africa, in Thailand, and other places and whatnot, is sex and anti-sex. Oh, you don't need to be a female all the time. After all, females have to go through a lot of agony. Wouldn't you like to be like your brother? Well, I don't have the equipment of my brother. Oh, well, you can pretend that you have it. I got some stuff I can sell you in the store. Strap-ons, you name it. And you just get it in your head that you should be a male. Because males can get things done. They got privileges that females don't have. And you say, well, you know, I don't particularly, you know, the lady says, I don't particularly want to be a male and all like that. Well, it's something, you know, have you tried it? You don't know it. Don't knock it if you ain't tried it. And knowing black people, particularly in this area of the world, we like anything that looks like it's bordering on something new because we're so tired of everything that ain't new. And they won't, no, we'll go for it. We'll pioneer, you know, we'll lead the parade, which is what they try to get us to do. Now, you can't get a decent place to stay. You can't get a decent job. But if you want to lead the gay parade and you're black, they will reserve a spot for you. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what I mean by evidence of what I'm talking about. The record shows this. And they start with who? The youngest. Okay. Always work with them in the choir and churches and whatnot. And they do it through the most intelligent of black people. They don't start with the fellow sitting there with the wine bottle in front of the liquor store who's 40 years old. Because he's a black male. That's why he's drinking. He's been disallowed to ever be a man, and he knows he'll never be one. He'll always be a boy. And that is tearing him up inside. That's why he left his wife, left his children, and all like that. I mean, he gave up on everything and started drinking. That's why he's sitting on the curb out there. Because he's still struggling to be a man. And he will fight people right there in that parking lot about his manhood. So you can't hardly get to him, even when he's drunk. You say, oh, man, get away from me. Don't be feeling on me. I got this big hip woman out here, you know, this big leg woman out here, you know. You know, if I want to do something like that, that's who I'm going to get with. I don't want you. Get your old rough, dirty hands off of me, you know. Man, I like women, you know. I'm a man, you know. I'm a man. Look at me. I'm a man, you know. I don't want no man. Even when I was in the joint, I didn't want one. See, that's the way he'll talk. He's 40 years old, okay. But what do? They go around and get the teachers and the guys who are going into the ministry, and that's where they spread that gospel among black intellectuals. Because the street dude, see, he's still struggling. I mean, he ain't going to never make it, because you can't be a man under the system of white supremacy. You got to remain a boy or turn into a female. By turning into a female, I mean having the kind of ideas about the opposite sex that a female has, but you a male. But you got the same idea about a male as your sister has. You're trying to outdo her. You're trying to take your sister's boyfriend. That's the way the white supremacists want it.
My co-host, I believe it's here, she is a non-white female, and she is 10 years old, but she has been studying your work, and she understands that there is a system of racism, white supremacy. I was hoping she could ask some questions as well. Are you there, Justice?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about the misunderstanding.
No problem.
Okay.
Do you have some questions you would like to ask Mr. Fuller?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
Well, she can think about what I said. See, here again, codification is about not...
position and purpose of politics. Politics is a process that decides who's going to get what benefits out of life. Now, so what has the Democratic Party ever promised you? Not a zero, zilch. And why do you vote for them? I mean, that shows your stupidity. And whoever made that list, that shows that he's even dumber than the ones that asked him to do stuff like that. Come to me, tonight, matter of fact, all my life, I run campaigns. I don't know who would be putting out that dumbass stuff on black folks. Who is that dumb? I run campaigns. I would never ask a black person just to vote. But you must vote for what? If politics is designed, what benefits you're going to get? That's the first question you should be asking. If I vote, if not vote, vote is immaterial. Because you see, in the reality, underneath that suggestion, black folks don't have any voting power. You have no voting power. What you have is show and tell power. That means you don't, all you do is got in bad name and had to tell people, y'all vote for this guy because he loves social integration. He understands civil rights and he looks better, plays a horn, an instrument, or drums in a band. So that's who you should vote for. Tell them those days are over. Over. Any black person goes out. Yeah, I tell you, if you don't vote, you only represent about 9% of votes. If you vote no strictly on lines that they're looking for, they may want 9 votes if they go to the black vote. But if you vote for your power potential, you can almost take over the entire national political system. I've told them that over and over again. If you voted for as a Democrat, your power is somewhere around 38%. You vote that. You vote as a whole, a body, 38%. And if you take that 38% and you go there and say, well, I'll go get me I just know 10% from the Hispanic. Because they know who's just coming to town. Why go get some of this? I need to get some of these weirdos that were crawling up the side of the wall in Congress back on January 6th. I get 10% of that group. Now you got 51% of the folks. You get elected time you want. You got some darn brains in your head. Because you said, in this society, that's why they have these immigration policies. Is to keep watering you down. Back during the post-slavery, black people of over 51% in all 5 of those southern states. You were the 51% of the population. Now you're down 12 or 13%, and have never gotten anything because you don't know how to play the game. Why do you let people invite you to play a game and you don't know the rules? Why are you playing it? Don't ever play anything that you can't win in. And don't gamble if you can't afford to lose. I'm not saying you don't go vote for because of some girl that you got. That makes you triple stupid. Man, some of these people are so damn dumb they can draw. Oh no, I ain't gonna say it. Go ahead, buddy. But you know, it almost felt like the video. I saw it was on some level in OG-16. It almost looked like it was women and gay people missing, trying to use whatever leverage they could to get black men to just sign up with the Democratic Party. And I don't have nothing against nobody in terms of who they are, what they choose to be. What I do kind of find interesting is that when you see most appeals to get black folks to vote, it's based on emotional, it's based on something that involves like a craving. Like we'll give you some weed if you come vote. We'll give you some sex if you come vote. We'll give you free pizza or chocolate chip cookies. We'll give you something that is something almost like you're an animal. You know, like the same way you want to get a dog to do something.
what you do. You don't try to talk irrational with dogs. Be logical. Give the dog whatever you tell them to do. Give them. And it almost seems to me that that is a matter of in that video, I didn't see anything about, you know, saying, okay, we need to vote for a certain way because of specific things that our community needs. And a lot of these communities are that have been neglected for a very long time. So I'm still trying to figure out, but they still haven't been able to find any logical reason why black people should even show up and vote for the party.
That's what I told black folks, I guess, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And that's, I blame our people for that. We are the only people that will vote for anything to get nothing. Nobody else is that damn dumb. And it's a process that originated around 15th to 16th century over in France, or Politica, which means go vote. But you're supposed to be voting for something to get something in return based on the simple premise of quid, pro, or bowl. What am I getting? Why am I voting? What am I supposed to get out of it? We are the only people that are suffering from a mentality that is 500 years old and was not worth a quarter back during slavery. When they go out and buy a black person with a chicken every election for a few free blacks you had in the country that could vote. Because in those days, you could vote if you owned property. There were a few blacks that owned property, and they could vote. And so they gave him a chicken, he'd go out and vote. He didn't care who the person was, he just vote for the damn chicken. And so I don't know, I have one leader, and again, here again, that's my fault. I don't know one black leader in America that I would call a leader. Not one. We don't have one in America. And that's why I say probably by this coming December, I think I'm going to get out of it. It's as far away from politics as I do. Because I'm so embarrassed all the time. I'm not going to play the game anymore. I don't want to participate. Because somebody tell me right now, Dr. Dennison, no, you got the right to vote. And I said, yeah, I got the right to go into that procedure too. But I know for a fact that the guys are loaded. The games are weak. The cards are marked. Why the hell are we going out? I can't win. You got to hold the game to win. Because right now, every time every immigrant comes in here, those are the guys against black folks. Because the first law passed, the first law says this is a white nation. And the only people that are welcome to people are here can be easily classified as white or who can pass as white. That's what the First Amendment passed by the United States Congress in 1790. So let me put it in better terms. I used this before. Taking black people in this country that is race-based to its heart, and you take them and say, okay, what's your population now? Well, I know you're right to go into the Civil War. Y'all were 51%. Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, all those states. You could win. You were the dominant population, the majority population. You can win when you want to win. But now you're down to 12%, and that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because that means you can't. If I put one black person at 12% into a room with 60 and 70 and 100, two-plus classmates, these boys call themselves proud boys. We're not talking about we're going to take back our country. They never wanted to take care of. They never had a country. All of them came from Europe. They were freeloaders. They came to America to get free land and free black labor. Somehow this is their country. They never produced a damn thing. Blacks were the economic machinery and engine that drove development in this country. They're the ones that were doing all the work, building the buildings, cleaning the land, cutting down the trees, pulling the logs, moving the rocks, killing the snakes, killing the bears. They were the labor class. And guess what? Whites took their labor. They say, well, you come over here, because I'm George Washington and George Mason and George Thomas Jefferson. We borrowed money in Europe to come to America, to be the first Americans. That's why we're here. We're here to get money, resources. We borrowed money from the banks in Europe. And so So, but we want all you others to come in the next generation, because you know, y'all don't have to be having the money. Y'all can be poor. Fill up your poor, your humble, your masses, and just love to be free, want to be free, and we'll give them free land and free black labor, and let them have a chance to set the border underneath the owners in this country, which we all white owners, and we'll give them a chance to have a business and they be able to be over black folk. That's why on every plantation, mandated by national state policy, that they always had to be in the South. They had to outnumber black. Outnumber black. 5-1. And then North is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
So they mandated it. So they...
Yeah.
So we were a planned minority.
You were a planned minority. They are a planned minority. And as go look at the 2014 census. And it's from the Department of Commerce. It'll tell you right now. Now, if you look at my book, Black Labor, Black History book, questions that I never asked. If you're now listed as a permanent minority, a permanent underclass, you know what an underclass is in a democracy? That means that you're now predestined to be either beggars or criminals for the rest of your existence in this country.